Waiting is hard in a fast-paced society. We want the stoplight to change quickly, the grocery line to move fast, and Christmas morning to arrive soon. We forget that before good things happen, preparations must be made. Last week, we lit the hope candle and remembered the promise that the light shines in the darkness. Today, we light the candle of peace.
Two candles burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. Two candles glowing light, the blessing of God giving new sight.
Hear these words from Psalm 72. And now the King with your justice, O God, the royal Son with your righteousness.
May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice.
May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor.
Please join us in prayer. Dear God, by the power of your Spirit, move us to make the preparations needed to welcome you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace.
Soften our hearts. Break down our resistance. Open us anew to your life and love that we may be transformed and may be agents of transformation in the lives of others. For Jesus' sake, amen.
So many of us in this season have found ourselves disagreeing with other people. Right. My guess is that many of us at some point in our life, maybe even in the last 9 months, have blocked somebody on social media. We may have even had a relationship in person that has broken down because of disagreement, because we find it hard to sort of navigate how to disagree well with each other. And I think it's important that we wrestle with that question of how do we disagree well? What does it look like to be people who speak truth at a time when we can't even necessarily agree on what is true? Right? During Advent, we celebrate that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet we can't always even be peaceful with each other. How do we agree to disagree? When do we know when it's time to agree to disagree and when it's time to sort of shake the dust off our feet and move on? How do we know when it's time to call someone out? And how do we know if it's time to just keep our mouth shut? It's not always easy. But it starts with sort of rooting ourselves in this idea that Jesus is the one who brings peace and the one who speaks truth. You see, during Advent, we live in this already but not yet. We live in this time between when we know that Jesus has already come. We know that the world is being redeemed. We know that it hasn't yet finished. And so we live leaning forward into the vision of how Jesus is going to make things, of how Jesus is remaking everything. We live leaning forward into what God is doing in our lives and in our world. And I believe that includes being people who speak truth and bring peace. You see, the earliest church really found themselves focusing on the idea that following Jesus was about the way you lived. They called themselves the way, right? They were followers of the way. It was about a way of living, about a way of being transformed because of what Jesus had done. And that way of living meant that they looked different and they acted different. And so this morning, we are going to look together at a story that comes to us from Acts chapter 3 of how the people have been transformed and how Jesus is their prophet and what it means that Jesus is our prophet and how that changes how we live and how we also live as prophets. But before we get to Acts chapter 3, we actually need to back up all the way to John chapter 10. Because in Acts chapter 3, Peter and the other apostles are meeting in a place called Solomon's Colonnade or Solomon's Porch, depending on what translation you use. I'll probably go back and forth in today's message. But Solomon's Porch is the place where the apostles are gathering. And if we go back to John chapter 10, we find Jesus also in Solomon's porch. And in John chapter 10, this is what Jesus says while he is in or on Solomon's porch. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Right? There's this sense here that Jesus is making a very big, bold statement about himself. Now, we know that the disciples didn't always get what Jesus was saying right away. If we read through the Gospels, we see over and over again that the disciples don't necessarily recognize what it is that Jesus is saying about himself. And then after Easter, in this sort of 50-day period between Easter and Pentecost, suddenly they seem to get it. And they understand just what Jesus has been saying. They have hindsight, right? As is the theme of our message. And so I don't think it's an accident that Peter and the other apostles are gathering in Solomon's porch. This is one of the places where Jesus declared so clearly who he is. And so it makes sense that they would be here in Solomon's porch as this place where Jesus said, I am one with the Father. I am more than just an ordinary human being. And so here are the apostles, the followers of Jesus, living a transformed life that gather in Solomon's porch. Now, Solomon's porch, if you see on this map of the temple, you can see that Solomon's porch is sort of on the edge of the temple. And it's right next to the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles is the most open and accessible space in the temple. It's the place where anybody can go, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of where they come from, right? This is the most open and accessible place in the temple, which is important because Solomon's porch is this place that sort of is set in the area where it's open and accessible to anybody. The followers of Jesus, the ones transformed by him, they're recognizing that the good news of Jesus is for everybody. It's open to all. And so they gather in a place where anybody can come and join them. And so at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, when we pick up in the story that I want to look at today, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are entering into the temple courts. And at one of the gates, they meet a man who has been lame since birth. And through them, God brings healing to this man. And this man follows them throughout the temples, running and jumping and leaping and dancing and excited because he's been healed. And so this man is still following them when they come to Solomon's porch. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade, or Solomon's porch. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Right? Essentially, Peter is saying where the power of Jesus is, there is going to be transformation. Where the power and presence of Jesus is, we should expect that people are going to experience new life. He said, "Why are you surprised by this?" Right? Jesus has been glorified by God, and because of that, God is going to continue to glorify the name of Jesus by bringing transformation wherever the presence and power of Jesus is. And then Peter goes on in verse 16 to say this, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Where the power and presence of Jesus is, there is healing. Where the power and presence of Jesus is, there should be peace. Where the power and presence of Jesus is, the world should be made better." I think we can't lose sight of the simple fact of this. where the followers of Jesus are, the world should look better. The world should look more like the kingdom of God. The world should be a place where peace is felt more clearly. One of the things that bothers me is that so often it feels like the church, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we sort of treat other people terribly, and then we do so in the name of Jesus. And we shouldn't be surprised that if we treat other people terribly and we do so in the name of Jesus, that the gospel itself begins to stink. The history of the church, so often, those who claim the name of Jesus use the name of Jesus to commit unspeakable acts. And I think we as followers of Jesus have to acknowledge that the history of the church has not always been a bed of roses. The history of the church has included many times where instead of bringing peace, the name of Jesus has brought war. Where instead of bringing peace, the name of Jesus has brought division. Where instead of bringing peace, the name of Jesus has brought hurt and insult and pain. I heard a story one time of a young man who died, and that individual was someone who was gay. And at that young man's funeral, somebody came up to that young man's father and said, "Well, it's too bad that he's burning in hell." Friends, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that people have a hard time believing that the good news of Jesus brings peace and hope? If that's the sort of behavior that the followers of Jesus get up to. But Peter goes on to say that through the miraculous power of God, God doesn't depend on us to bring about his good news, that God can work even despite our failures. And in verses 21 through 23, this is what Peter says. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." And this brings us to one of these interesting foresight, hindsight moments, right? Peter, in Acts chapter 3, is looking back to the book of Deuteronomy, to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and saying this, again, another one of these books that we normally wouldn't consider to be prophecy, sort of foretelling anything. And he's saying, Moses, the heart of what Moses desired and was looking for was someone who would perfectly reveal the will of God, right? Deuteronomy is an extended sermon that Moses gives to the people before they enter into the promised land about how they should live once they have entered into the promised land. And with Jesus-shaped hindsight in Acts chapter 3, Peter looks back and says that this is about pointing to a desire for someone who can perfectly reveal the will and truth of God as revealed in Jesus. And friends, I want to start with this, that if we need peace this Advent, if we find ourselves wrestling with a world that doesn't feel the way it's supposed to be, if we find ourselves feeling like maybe our lives have gotten off track in these last few months, maybe we find ourselves engaging in unhealthy coping mechanisms, maybe we find ourselves just being less somebody who bears the fruit of the Spirit, maybe instead of being more patient and loving and gracious and kind, maybe we are less patient these days. Maybe we just need that sense of peace and assurance of the presence of God, then friends, I want to start here that Jesus as our prophet, the one who perfectly reveals God's will to us, friends, that will, that message, that hope is that the good news of God is for every single one of us. Every single one of us is welcomed into God's loving arms. Every single one of us is made right with God. Every single one of us is embraced by God. You know, in Acts chapter 3, Peter is talking to a crowd of people who very likely, some, many, we don't know how many, but a good number of them were quite likely a part of the crowds that only some 60-ish days earlier had called for the death of Jesus. And yet, Peter can still say to them, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Right? This crowd of people who, some of them were ones who rejected Jesus completely. Some of them were those who called for Jesus to be crucified. Some of them were those who said, "We want to see Barabbas freed." And Peter says, "He's been appointed for you." Friends, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how out of step your life may be. It doesn't matter how out of sync your life may be. It doesn't matter how much you find yourself navigating this season in healthy ways or unhealthy ways. Jesus Christ has been appointed for you. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of Christmas. Jesus is for you. But the foresight and hindsight here in Acts chapter 3 also gives us an answer to another important question. How does that help us navigate the disagreements and conflict that we find ourselves having right now? Well, part of that comes when we see the bigger context that Peter is quoting from. Right, Peter gives this quote from Deuteronomy chapter 18, but I think we can expect that most of Peter's audience would have known a good chunk of what follows those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And this is what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. "If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken." Right. In other words, when Moses is giving sort of advice for how to understand the prophets who are going to reveal God's will, he says one of the ways that you sort of know a prophet is you know their fruit. Do they speak truth? And I think as a quick side note, we should point out that prophecy in the ancient world had not so much to do with predicting the future as much as declaring the truth of God. It was forthtelling, we might say. It was declaring the truth of God and who God is. It wasn't about sort of looking out into the future and making some proclamation about what was going to happen. And so Moses says in Deuteronomy 18, you're going to know if a prophet is speaking the truth, if what they say comes true. Do they bear good fruit? Which is the same message that Jesus picks up on in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, this is what Jesus says. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit." In other words, what I'm trying to say here is this, that if Jesus is our chief prophet, if he is the one who perfectly reveals God's will to us, well, then that should transform how we live. We should be followers of the way. We should be people who live more and more in step with the perfect chief prophet. And that should inform and shape how we know when to agree to disagree, when to push back. And I think it gives us a lens, a set of questions that we can ask. And that particular question is, what fruit is it bearing? Right? If somebody is holding to a position, if we're engaged in an argument with someone on social media, if we're trying to navigate the differences that we hold with family members and friends in the midst of sort of a contentious season, we should be asking ourselves, does it help us be more loving? Does it make us more kind? Does the line of thinking that we are following, does it lead us to thinking more about how we can love and care for others, or does it lead us to thinking more and more about how we can get what we deserve, our rights, our responsibilities? Are we worried more about protecting our own stuff or about protecting others? Are we worried more about making the church a place that is Solomon's colonnade, Solomon's porch, where anybody can come? Or are we worried more about sort of just taking care of our own? The message of Acts chapter 3 and the story of what's happening with this man who has been healed and the place where the story is taking place and the message of Jesus, our chief prophet, is that it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus has been appointed for you. Jesus has been appointed for you. It doesn't matter if you are black or white, if you are part of the 1% or if you have $1 in your bank account. It doesn't matter where you go to school. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. Jesus Christ has been appointed for you. So what difference does our hindsight about the foresight of Deuteronomy do to us? I think it reminds us to look for good fruit. It reminds us to look for a way of living, a way of speaking, a way of being that is more and more about being aligned with our chief prophet. It reminds us to cultivate good fruit. It reminds us to look for how we can respond to contentious disagreement with patience. It reminds us to look for how we can first acknowledge the humanity of those people with whom we disagree. It reminds us that where we see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, we should cultivate it. We should celebrate it as a gift of the Holy Spirit. We should celebrate it that this is something that can only come about because God is already present and working. And where we see selfishness and manipulation and power-mongering and fear-mongering and denying the truth and self-serving pursuit of power, that we should cut it out. That we should eliminate it, that it has no place in the gospel, because no place in the followers of the way. Because if others look to us and they see self-serving power grabs and they see fear-mongering and they see denying the truth, what they see is something other than the good fruit of Jesus. And they see something other than our chief prophet. In other words, Acts chapter 3, the foresight, the hindsight of Acts chapter 3, looking back on the foresight of Deuteronomy chapter 18, reminds us to remember the Prince of Peace hanging out in Solomon's porch, declaring the truth that his sheep know his voice and he gives them eternal life. The hindsight of Acts chapter 3, looking at the foresight of Deuteronomy chapter 18, reminds us of the apostles hanging out in Solomon's porch saying, Jesus has been appointed for you. He is the prophet who declares the truth of who God is and how we are made right with God and how we are accepted, not because of what we've done, but because of just who Jesus is and who we are before God. The hindsight of Acts chapter 3, of the foresight of Deuteronomy chapter 18, reminds us to follow that prophet, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, and to cut out that which is opposed to the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, in this period of waiting, in the already but not yet, our Prince of Peace, our chief prophet, declares to us that Jesus has been appointed for you, for me, for all who would call on his name. Please pray with me. Father God, I just thank you and praise you for that amazing good news that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're struggling with, no matter what we are wrestling with, that Jesus Christ has been appointed for us, for me, for every single person watching. Father God, I pray that you would help us to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. When others look at us, may they see us reflecting our chief prophet. May they see our lives pointing to the truth of the one who speaks the perfect truth. Father God, may we more fully reflect that good news in our lives today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill. and the dead arose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who had come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Friends, receive God's blessing. May God go before you to guide you. May God go beside you to befriend you, beneath you to support you, and behind you to protect you. Do not fear. God is with you, declaring the truth of who you are in Christ. Do not be afraid. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Have an awesome, awesome week.